Welcome to the Practically Perfect Parenting Podcast. I'm Sarah Polinchek. I'm here with my co-host,
John Summers Flanagan.
Before we start, we're going to thank our sponsors, the Charles Engelhard Foundation and NPEN, the National Parenting Education Network. We're here talking today about postpartum depression. It's harder than you think.
And you know, it also happens more often than you think. It's a fairly common experience for women when they're pregnant or after they've delivered their baby. And so here's the scene. I just want to give a general idea of what might happen when postpartum depression occurs. So we have a young woman, or maybe it's an older woman. She wants to have children. Maybe she's known this for a long time, and maybe she's just decided that she wants to have children. She thumbs through some baby books. She looks up names, and she's getting excited. And she has a partner, and maybe that partner is super excited too. They decide to conceive, or maybe it's a surprise. Either way, there may be some joy, and there may be a little bit of fear or anxiety or dread around the pregnancy. In some ways, all of that doesn't matter when the pregnancy is tough. And it might involve nausea and vomiting, and it might involve pain in joints, and it might involve anguish. And some of that stuff will start to snowball into some negative thoughts. And the negative thoughts can be really hard to turn off. And they might involve concern about the health of the baby, concern about your own health if you're the woman who is pregnant. Sometimes thoughts that get negative are like a locomotive and they're really hard to stop. So if this is the situation, we might call it clinical depression. We might call it major depression. But really the diagnosis or the label is probably less important than the fact that we have a mom-to-be, or maybe a new mom, who feels desperately out of sync or out of touch with that American expectation of new baby bliss.
Yeah, John, as I heard you tell that story, it reminded me a lot of my own experience and just saying, yes, it is much harder than we think. I can look back and remember that I really, really, really wanted to be pregnant and was so surprised at how hard the whole situation was because I thought because I wanted it so much that it would be easier.
Yeah, that's a little bit of an irony because you look forward to it.
Yeah. Definitely. But, you know, it's common to have depression, and I think it's a lot more common than we're aware. During pregnancy, about 20% of moms are diagnosed with depression. And after they have the baby, what they report is about 12 to 15%, although we think that's really lower than the real incidence, right?
Right. I think it's an underestimate, probably because it's often overlooked or underdiagnosed.
Yeah, I think we can say that pretty certainly, right? That it's happening a lot more than what these numbers would indicate.
I think that's very true. And one example of that is a recent study that was published, a 2016 study by Bonnie Kirker of the New York University School of Medicine. She led a study that found only 44% of the time did pediatricians ask new moms about depression or depressive symptoms. What that means is that the physician who might be in the best position to check for it isn't checking for it.
Right. So that's less than half the time.
That's right. Good math.
Thank you.
And so, you know, if you're a mom and if you're experiencing some symptoms of depression or officially even have postpartum depression, there's less than a 50% chance that you would even be asked by your doctor about those symptoms. And so because that's the case, one of the things that we want to make a big point about is you need to say to the doctor, don't wait to be asked. Just tell the doctor what you are experiencing.
Mm-hmm. It's confusing though, John. One of the symptoms is fatigue. I mean, isn't just being tired synonymous with being a mom?
Certainly it is. And it is with being a new mom in particular, right?
Yeah.
And so sometimes moms then can kind of think to themselves, well, I'm just overreacting. I don't really have depression because it's just normal to be tired. Mm-hmm. It's normal to have fatigue. Well, let me just list some of the symptoms of depression so that we're aware of what they are. And in order to get a diagnosis of major depression, there are 9 symptoms, 5 of which must be met in order for somebody to have that diagnosis. Now, I'm not advocating parents to do their own diagnosis. And in fact, depression during pregnancy and after pregnancy is also not uncommon among fathers, mm-hmm. because sometimes their expectations are not being met either. And so some of the main symptoms, having a depressed or a low mood for most of the day on most days, that is a cardinal feature. And the other main feature that needs to be present, either the depressed mood or what we call anhedonia, meaning you just don't find pleasure in the things that you used to find pleasurable. Other symptoms include significant weight loss or gain, and so that might be accompanied by changes in appetite. Another symptom is insomnia or hypersomnia, in other words, sleeping all day. Probably more common for new moms is insomnia, and that can be related to the sleep disruptions that happen with a new baby. Mm-hmm. And of course, as you mentioned before, fatigue is one of the symptoms of depression, loss of energy.
Yeah. Okay, so what's confusing about this, John, is that, gosh, you know, as we said, when we have a baby, a lot of these things just happen anyway, right? So weight loss, for example, I mean, most of us lose a little weight after we have a baby, at least 6 pounds.
Right, yes.
Right? And just some of these other things about feeling tired and the fatigue, how do we know, like, what's the difference between just these things that we expect to happen after we have a baby? What's the difference between those behaviors and what might be depression?
Right. And some of the additional symptoms of depression are a little bit different than what you might expect to experience as a new mom. For example, feelings of worthlessness or guilt almost every day. That doesn't necessarily go along with being a new mom. Certainly, you can feel like you have high pressure on yourself to be the best mom you can be, and you may feel a little bit down about not always being a perfect mom, but that kind of sense of worthlessness or guilt nearly every day is a little different.
Mm-hmm, because there's self-doubt, certainly, that happens with most new moms, right? But that's just a little different than feeling like I am just not a worthwhile parent at all.
Exactly. And sometimes going along with that would be some thoughts of suicide or death. Mm-hmm. Or that maybe the world or your baby would be better off if you were no longer around. Mm-hmm. And obviously, those are clear signs that you might be experiencing the symptoms of depression.
Okay.
Now, there are a few other specific symptoms that go along with being clinically depressed, but I would say that maybe one of the most important things is that if beyond the fatigue, right, if beyond the trouble sleeping, mm-hmm. if beyond difficulties concentrating, which is another symptom of depression, if beyond all that, you're starting to have this set of negative thoughts about yourself, about the baby, about your relationship with the baby, about your relationship with your romantic partner, it's almost like everything becomes colored blue or black or in a very negative light. And if you start to notice that about yourself, that is a sign that you should really talk to somebody.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is just, it's common to think, oh my gosh, am I equipped to do this? Should mm-hmm. I be a mom? Am I ready to be a mom? I certainly remember having all of those questions. But when it starts to turn into thoughts of, I should not be a mom, I'm going to be a horrible mom, this is never going to get better, right? That's
yeah, that would definitely be a signal.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, if somebody's listening to this show and they're wondering, huh, I wonder if I should say something mm-hmm. to my doctor. If you're just wondering if you should say something to your doctor,
then you
say
should.
Something right. to your doctor.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Or maybe not your doctor, right?
Right. Somebody else. There's lots of people that you can reach out to. We'll talk
right.
about that.
Yes.
Okay.
So again, I want to emphasize that we're not saying, oh, you know, pregnant moms or new moms should be doing a lot of self-diagnosis. But what we're advocating is that they be aware of what some of the common symptoms of depression might be.
Mm-hmm.
And that if they start to pile up and get big, that they speak to somebody.
Mm-hmm. And then I want to add, too, that in my experience working with moms and being a mom myself, that sometimes pediatricians or your OB, they're just not ready to hear or to address what these symptoms are. I think it's common to hear, oh, you're just a new mom, don't worry, it will just resolve on its own. If you have concerns and a doctor says that to you, find someone else.
Absolutely. I mean, you can keep the person as a doctor if you like
sure.
the person as a physician.
Sure.
And they might be able to take care of your medical needs, or they might be able to take care of your children's medical needs. But
yeah.
if they're not responsive or receptive to you talking about emotional issues, find somebody who is responsive.
Definitely. And like who?
Like who? Well, like you. I mean, you know, like like somebody who's close to you, who you can count on and trust. I mean, friends, family. And sometimes if it's not friends or family, or you feel like you don't really want to talk with somebody in your kind of circle or your community, you know, you might talk with a professional. There's nothing wrong with talking with a professional counselor or a psychotherapist. And then you can get really an objective, non-biased listener.
Definitely.
Yeah.
There's, you know, and most communities have good support systems with community nurses and social workers that
absolutely
can be helpful. So sometimes going back to wherever it was that you gave birth or going back to those sorts of professionals can be really helpful. They can at least get you connected.
Right. And for me, the key is find somebody who has some compassion. Because if they want to minimize what your experience is, you know, it's just not going to help you feel better.
Right.
Yeah. Now, in addition, of course, support groups. Formal support groups can be great. And today we have a phone call with a woman named Jane Honickman. And she experienced some postpartum depression herself way back in the 1970s. And she established one of the first postpartum support groups. It's called Postpartum Education for Parents. It was established in 1977. And she has moved on and been involved in postpartum depression education for many years since then and has established a couple of other groups, one called Postpartum Support International. And then most recently, in 2015, she co-founded the Postpartum Action Institute. And these websites and access to this information will be on my blog site as well as our podcasting website.
Great. All great resources. Yeah.
So we're going to take some time to talk with Jane Honickman. I understand that you have a universal message that you share with women who might be suffering from postpartum depression, and I wondered if you'd share that with us.
Certainly, and as again, it's something that I want to emphasize. This is a message for everyone, including the men and also the extended families. Very often they have a conversation with somebody who's surrounding this family, and they just don't know what to say. So in three simple sentences, we want to emphasize, number one, you're not alone. You're not the first to feel what you're feeling or having a difficult moment or a time. And the second is, it's not your fault. Definitely, you're not to blame yourself, although the degree of when you do that, you usually indicate how depressed you may be. And the third is, you will be well. This is something that does not last. The longer you can get into treatment and help and whatever, depending on how severely depressed you are or a difficult time you're having, this is just something that ends, short-lived, and we can get you well. And that's the universal message.
So as a psychologist, I can't help but hear three core messages. The first one, not alone, really battles the isolation that many people have related to depression. The second one, not your fault, is a way to address some of those wild cognitive or mental messages that we could give ourselves or that women could give themselves about things being their fault. And the third one, you will be well, is a way to, it sounds like, really to directly combat the hopelessness that is oftentimes a part of depression.
That's right.
So just a summary on what Jane talked to us about. So one of the things would be that you're not alone. It might feel that way, definitely, and I think that's a cornerstone to postpartum depression, and what it feels like is that you're all alone, but you're not. Even if you don't have anyone in your immediate circle, there are lots of resources around. We promise you that in your community there's someone that can help you.
Yes.
And that it's not your fault. This is not a signal that you are an inadequate parent or weren't meant to be a parent. There's nothing about this that's your fault. It happens. It happens to a big part of the population.
It's not a sign that you're weak or anything like that. It's a sign that you have some issues and it's really important for you to address them.
Definitely. And you will be well again. The key, though, is reaching out and getting the support and the help that you need. People recover from postpartum depression and depression all the time. So you will be well again and believing that. And also validate, reassure, and offer hope.
Right. If you're another person and you know somebody who might be experiencing some adjustment to having given birth, yeah, offer those three things. You know, validation and reassurance and hope are really important. And, you know, the person may not believe you when you offer hope,
right,
but you still want to do that. And sometimes in psychotherapy, if the client isn't feeling like she or he can generate something positive himself or herself, then we need to share some hope and some reassurance in an effort to sort of let the person borrow some of our positive thoughts.
Definitely. Before we move on, I had a little internal chuckle at one of the words you used a minute ago, so I'm going to share that.
Okay.
Just when describing having a baby as an adjustment, my internal chuckle was that it's a big, big adjustment. Like, adjustment just doesn't feel adequate. And I think most moms would agree. It's just a huge going from no kids to having a kid. Is just one of the biggest things you can ever do. And
so I'd like to reel that word back in, I guess. And I'd like to say to moms out there, it's more than an adjustment.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thank you. Okay.
All right. So it's about time for us to give some money advice.
Definitely.
So we got some feedback from one of our listeners who said, you know, you should not call that money, but you should call that taking it to the bank.
Good advice.
Good advice. And so who knows? We might call it taking it to the bank, and we might call it our money portion.
We're open to what our listeners have to say, aren't we?
Yeah. So okay. What are the practical suggestions that you have for moms who might be experiencing some postpartum depression or depression while they're still pregnant?
Yeah. I have two. One of them is just, you know, self-care, taking care of ourselves. We hear that, and it sounds kind of cheesy because it's like you hear it so often, but it is so important, and specifically just to eat well, making sure you're getting 3 to 4 meals a day. It's amazing how important it is to get foods in your body that are going to actually feed your body, right? Not just, I don't know, what do we want to eat? I remember just eating nachos, but beyond the nacho.
Well, you know, you want to supplement some of the – it's – junk food is a reality, and I think it's hard to not eat some of it.
Right, and especially when we're overwhelmed, we tend to go to what's quick and easy. But trying to make sure we're paying attention to some adequate nutrition is going to be a big thing. It's going to help.
Not too much sugar, and make sure you get some protein.
Definitely.
Those are, and you know, what do they say, green leafy vegetables?
Yeah, I think I've heard that before, yes. The other thing that I would say is that it's so easy in this day and age to go onto Facebook or whatever social media you happen to be looking at and see other young moms with babies. And I bet these babies are wearing these cute little outfits and everyone looks so happy. And when you're suffering from some form of depression and to see all the other moms that look like they have it all together, that can be really depressing. So my advice would be don't do that. Don't compare your life with other people's highlight reel.
Oh, yeah. I think you're totally right. There's that old AA saying, compare and despair.
Yeah.
And if you're comparing yourself with the highlight reel, of course you're going to despair.
Yeah. But I promise you that these other moms, they're suffering a little bit too.
The thing I always think of, you see those pictures of all those beautiful families and new babies. And I'm thinking, you know, they also don't smell that good. Babies can smell really bad.
Really bad. Yeah.
All right. Well, I got a couple of money tips or taking it to the bank tips, too. The first one is, you know what Jane said about you are not alone, but it's easy to think you're alone. It's easy to get in our own heads and to think really negative thoughts about ourselves or about the future. I had one of my clients one time said to me, the mind is a terrible place to go alone. So break the isolation. If it starts to build up a little bit, find a support group. Talk to somebody. Don't let the isolation happen because, in fact, you're not alone. It's important, though, to consciously and with effort to reach out to make sure that the isolation doesn't build up.
Can I tell a quick little story about that?
Yes, you can.
I'm having this memory because I remember that when my baby was about 6 months old, my sister came to visit. She came to where we live, and I was so excited because I just was needing an extra person around me. I was feeling that loneliness, even though, gosh, I have family in town. I have a supportive co-parent, but I still felt lonely. It's just there's something about it, and I remember that she and my mom wanted to go on a hike, and I couldn't go on a hike, and I had a full-on temper tantrum.
Yeah,
I remember it. It's kind of embarrassing to think back now, but in the moment, it just felt like, how could you leave me? Like, I've been looking forward to this visit and for you coming, and I wanted her next to me 24/7.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think that just really speaks to how easily that loneliness and isolation can creep in, even when you're really surrounded by people.
Absolutely true. And I think, you know, the whole idea that you had a temper tantrum, you know, to me, it's like, okay, it's not a big deal.
Right.
And I think that's one of the things that parents need to say to themselves, even if they behave in ways that they wish they hadn't. You know, take a step back from your emotions afterwards and say, oh, you can say, I wish I hadn't had a temper tantrum, but I did. And
it worked. I stayed home.
Well, there you go. So. So that's another bit of advice from Dr. Sarah.
Yep. Got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. You know, so somewhat related to your story, my other money tip is move. Now, I realize you can't go on a big hike. Mm-hmm. And I realize that sometimes if there's a C-section or there are other kind of medical complications, you will have movement restrictions. But the fact is that when you move, even if you imitate the people at the Senior Citizen Center doing their arm movements for exercise, any kind of regular movement produces neurotransmitters in the brain that are likely to be associated with decreasing depression.
Mm-hmm.
So move, find a way to move.
Even if you don't feel like it, right?
Even if you don't feel like it.
Because you probably won't.
And even if it's just a little bit of movement.
Yeah. So be gentle with yourself. Just a little bit of movement.
Yep. Absolutely.
And a salad.
Hey, move, have a salad.
Yep.
Hey, do you have any resources that you would like to share with people?
You know, I don't have a specific one necessarily, but I do know in most communities there are resources for postpartum depression and new moms.
Yeah. You know, I have one. It is a book that's by Walker Cara. And the title is Transformed by Postpartum Depression, Women's Stories of Trauma and Growth.
Okay.
And the reason I like that one is sometimes hard times help us to grow and develop in positive ways. And it's linked to the statement that Jane said about that you will be well again. And maybe in some ways you will grow and even be better than you were. So.
Great.
All right.
Okay.
We want to say, once again, thanks to the National Parenting Education Network for their support of this podcast. And we want to say thanks to the Charles Engelhard Foundation.
All thanks, John.
All right, so over and out for today. And I just want to say, we want to wish all the moms out there, whether you're experiencing depression or not, to just say, oh, you should be so appreciated. We should be so thankful for the amazing things that you do to build families. And so take it easy on yourself.
Yes. Let's thank a mom today, right?
Yes.
You can thank me.
Thank you, Sarah.
All right. The Practically Perfect Parenting Podcast is sponsored in part by the Charles Engelhard Foundation, audio engineer Mike Matthews, production assistant Joey Moore, and co-hosts Sarah Polinchek and John Summers Flanagan.